Hello again, friends. This is Brother Billy, and I'm so glad to be back with you today. God is so gracious and good to allow me this privilege, and I thank Him with all my heart for this opportunity, and I thank you for listening. You know, this, as one old brother used to say, is the height of my ambition. My greatest desire in life is to be able to preach the Word of God and to help people and encourage them along the way. And you know, I really pray with all my heart today that the things that I say will encourage you and cause you to have a greater desire to serve God. You know, friends, today we are so far below our privileges in serving God. There's so many precious promises in God's Word that belong to us, and we're just not claiming them as ours. Somebody told me one time that there was over 8,000 promises in God's Word, and I bought a book of promises that's got the 8,000 promises in it. But you know, I think every word that God said, everything that's put down is a promise, because He said not one jot or tittle of His Word will pass away. This whole world may pass away, but God's Word will never pass away. And everything in there is a promise to us, children. And we just need to claim it as our own. I heard one time about a preacher that visited one of his congregation. It was an elderly lady. And you know, as they sat around, they talked about the good things of God and all the things that belong to us. The minister picked up a Bible that was laying over on the table. And when he opened it, he noticed all through the pages there was written over in the margin, T&P, T&P. And he looked at her and said, "Sister, what all these T&Ps mean?" And she replied, "Pastor, when I have a trial or a problem comes up and I don't know what to do with it, I search God's Word for a promise for that trial or that problem. So then I pray and I turn it over to Him. And when He fixes the problem or the trial is over, I write T&P by that promise in the Bible. It means tried and proved." Oh, children of God, how many T&Ps do you have in your Bible? Or how many could you put in there? We need to believe God. We need to believe Him with all of our heart. When we're in a trial or trouble assails us, we believe the devil. You know, when the devil says, God's forsaking you, or God will forsake you, or he says, you can't make it, this trial is just too hard, we believe him. The devil, the one who's been a liar from the beginning, we believe him. But God's promises, oh, thank God, the one that made all and it holds the breath of life in his hands, the one we say we're trusting our soul to for eternity, those things that he promised, we doubt. Oh, such a shame. Such a shame, children of God. His Word will never fail. Everything else will pass away, but His Word will never fail. And we doubt it. We believe the devil, but we doubt God's Word. God's Word, Christ is our rock, and He never fails. You know, one time a young boy was shipwrecked in a bay and on some rocks, and he clung to a rock in that bay all night long. And the more the storm raged, the tighter he held that rock. In the morning when the storm was over and they rescued him, one of his rescuers said, Son, "I know you were scared. Didn't you tremble through the night on that storm, during that storm?" And the young man replied and said, "Yes, sir." He said, "But the rock didn't." Oh, thank God, children. Jesus is our rock. When trials and troubles come, cling closer to Him. Grab a hold of Him. He won't fail. We need to trust Him with all of our heart. Proverbs 3:5 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." All thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Trust Him, friends. Believe Him, and your sleep will be sweet. I read one time about a cowhand that this feller hired, And when he was interviewing him, he said, I sleep when the wind blows. Or when the wind blows, I sleep, I guess might have been the way he said it. And the rancher was kind of puzzled about why he said that. You know, but said one night a storm come up and the rancher jumped up and he ran out, you know, to check everything. And said the gates were all tied down good. The animals were all in the barn and the doors were, the batches or hatches were battered down, whatever you say. They were all tightened up real good. And he went over and he looked in the bunkhouse and there was the old boy laying there sound asleep. You know why? Because everything was done right and he knew it was done. And friends, God's done everything right. God's never let us down. Everything's right. And when we trust in him, when the storms come, we know he's got all them doors latched good. When the devil roars, we know that the gate's locked and he can't get in. Oh, thank God. Glory to God. We need to trust him. To understand that he'll never let us down, that we can sleep in the midst of the raging storms if we just trust him. Listen, all we everything, it all belongs to us. Everything belongs to us. We're God's children. You know, I felt the Lord in that. Listen, I thought about, you know, so much about this scripture over in Luke, where the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and wanted him to heal her daughter. And he just kind of ignored her. She wouldn't give up. And the disciples even tried to get him to send her away. He said, you know, call her to send her away, Lord. And he just kind of ignored them all. And finally, though, she got his attention. She wouldn't quit. And when she did, she told him that she wanted him to heal her daughter. And Jesus just looked at her and said, it's not meat to take bread from the children's table and cast it under the dogs. Oh, but she was trusting him. She looked at him. She said, truth, Lord. I said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Oh, thank God. Jesus told her, he said, for that sin, your daughter is made whole. And you know what touches me so much about this? I feel like we're eating crumbs. I feel like we're just eating the crumbs. We're not the dogs, children of God. We've got a right to the table. We're the children, and it was prepared for us. And yet we eat the crumbs. Oh, friends, let's sit down at the table and eat. Let's sit down and eat that God has provided for us. Prove God. Try him out. If you've been listening to Satan and tremble when he roars, if you're afraid you can't do the things of God, test him. Try him out. Get a promise and hold to it. And then write T&P beside it. And just keep on doing that until the whole of your Bible is just continuously T&P. T&P. Oh, thank God. Friends, we make so many excuses why we can't trust God. You know, if you were to ask one of God's children which was the worst trial that they've had, when were things the worst? Most would say, right now. This is it. Right now. This is the worst trial I've ever had. This is just the worst one. You know, they forget all those trials that God has done brought them through. And right now is the time that they feel like they're the least able to trust God. You know, you hear people talk a lot of times, they say, oh, if I was just like I used to be. Oh, I wish I could be like I used to be. If I could do better, I could stand the trial then. I used to be strong in the Lord and I could have stood the trial back then. Oh, friends, that's an excuse. That's an excuse. You know, I feel like the safest time that you'll ever go through is when you're trying the hardest. That's when you're the most careful. It's when you do the most praying. You read God's Word more. The weaker you feel you are, the better off you are. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You know, I've had one person talk to me, you know, like, say, like, boy, they wish they was like old so-and-so. Said, boy, they're really strong. Said, if I was like them, I could handle all these trials. But when you talk to so-and-so, you know, so-and-so says, man, I wish I was like them. I wish I did as well in God's ways as they do. We need to have confidence in God. and in ourselves and hold to God's unchanging hand. Friends, God won't never let us down. He loves us today. Why, He's got everything that we need. Why, our Father owns the cattle of a thousand hills. You know, when things look impossible, that's when God likes to work. But He can only work according to our faith. Jesus said, as thy faith is, so be it unto you. We need that faith and that trust in God. You know, when old Job was sick and everybody turned against him, and it looked like God had surely forsaken him. But you know what Job said? He said, though he slay me, still I'll trust him. Oh, thank God. If we had that kind of faith, we won't worry. The Word of God teaches us not to worry. Paul said, be careful for nothing. It's over in Philippians where he said that, at 4th chapter, I believe. He said, be careful for nothing. Or in other words, don't worry about nothing. Another place he said, I would have you without carefulness. I don't want you to worry. The Hebrew children told the king, said, we're not careful to answer. We're not worried about it. We're not afraid. Children, don't be afraid. While the Master will never leave us or forsake us. It don't matter. It don't matter how black the clouds get. It don't matter how much the thunder rolls or how much the lightning flashes. Just behind those clouds, the sun still shines as bright as ever. Oh, friends, it's like I preached last week. It's after you suffered a while that the strength comes. So hold on to God. When it seems rough, just hold on. Just look above them storms to the sun. I read or heard one time, you know, the Word of God tells us over in Isaiah, said, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I read one time, or heard it one, I ain't sure which, but anyway, it said an eagle, you know, God used that, said we'll mount up with wings as eagles. And it talked like, said an eagle, when it is flying and it looks and it sees the storm clouds, that he just sticks his head up and just spreads them wings out and heads right through the clouds, that he just soars and soars and soars till he comes out on top, up above them clouds where the sun is still shining. Oh, thank God today, friends. Listen, keep your head up. David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Look up today. Don't be discouraged and downcast. Glory to God. Don't let old Satan cause your mind to be disturbed. Look up. Be like that eagle. Soar above the clouds. Said, I'll lift you up with wings as eagles. All them wings as an eagle. Said, they shall run and not be weary. And all, when you got your trust in God, friends, you can run this race. And you won't get weary. You won't get tired. Oh, when things come and the birds get so heavy that you have to walk, you still won't faint. Just hold on to God. Hold on to His unchanging hand. Don't let go no matter what comes, no matter how bad things look. Don't let go. Oh, there's so many things that I look back on. And you know, at the time they seem so hard, but there's not any of them that I'd want to do without. Them trials, they gave me the experience to know that whatever comes, that God will be there. That no matter what happens, it all works together for good. And you know, no doubt, that's one of the most precious scriptures in the Word of God. Oh, friends, I've used it so much that it would take a book by itself just to write down all the 10 P's I'd need just for that one scripture. Try Him, friends. Test Him. Prove Him. See if His Word is true. We know it is. We know it is. So let's quit listening to Satan with all his tricks and his lies. So many times we say, we believe, but do we? One time there was a little boy watched as a man stretched a cable out across the gorge. And after he got it stretched, he worked on it a long time, and he got it stretched out, and he walked across it back and forth a couple of times. And then he picked up a wheelbarrow by the handles and walked up to the cable. And he looked over at the little boy and he said, "Son, do you believe I can push this wheelbarrow across?" The little boy thought for a moment and said, "Yes, sir, I sure do." "Then get in," replied the man, "and I'll push you across." Oh, he believed, but did he believe? We believe, but do we believe? The Lord has told us to get in, and he'll push us across. Have we gotten in? Do we want to get in? Will we get in? The answers to those three questions determine where you're at in the Lord. They determine how much joy and peace you have got, whether or not you're cumbered by many things, or whether or not you're resting in the arms of Jesus. Think about your answers to those questions. And if you're not in a wheelbarrow, ask yourself why, and what do I need to do to get in? Try to get a hold of that faith. Don't let go. Just try to get a hold of that faith. And if there's anything that's coming between you and God, lay it down. Oh, this just won't leave me. It just keeps coming to my mind. And a lot of people that are listening have heard it time and time again, but some of you probably haven't ever heard it. But I've got a daughter I think she's about 24 years old now and got a couple of children. But when she was a baby, a child, she was retarded, and she couldn't walk, and she couldn't talk. And, oh, it just break our heart. And we tried so hard with that child. I remember sitting her on my lap, and I'd tell her, I'd say, "Now, your name's Melinda. What's your name?" And she just make a noise. She couldn't even tell me what her name was. And it just got so heavy, and it got heavier and heavier and heavier. And I remember I worked traveling kind of up through Tennessee and down in the part of Alabama. And I'd be going down the road, and I'd see me a patch of woods, and I'd get out, and I'd pray. And I'd say, "Oh, God, would you heal my little girl?" And I think, "Lord, if there's anything that I'm doing that in any way would hinder me having the faith that I need, if you just let me know what it is, Lord, I'll quit it. I'll do anything, Lord. I want you to heal my daughter." And I tried, and I tried, and I tried. I prayed everywhere. I prayed all the time. And that went on for about 6 months, I guess. I don't remember. Melinda was about 5 years old, I think, somewhere in that area. And I had prayed and prayed and prayed and tried to teach her to talk. And one day we were sitting there at the house, and I was sitting on the couch, and I had Melinda on my knee, and I was trying to teach her to talk. And I'd say, "Your name's Melinda. What's your name?" And she'd just make that noise. And I'd ask her again, and she'd make that noise. And it was pretty rough, y'all. But I happened to turn and look, and my wife was sitting there in a recliner, leaned back, watching me. And she was crying. The tears had run so much that they had run dripped down off her cheeks, and the whole front of her blouse was wet from tears. Before I realized what I said, I looked at her and I said, "Well, honey, they just one thing about it. When this is all over with, it'll just be a good testimony, because God's going to heal her." And that night, I went to church, and Sharon and them stayed home. She was expecting a baby, and it was close to being due. And she stayed home. And I went over there, and I got up and asked prayer for Melinda. And it was real hard. You know, everybody knew how Melinda was, but it was hard to ask that prayer for that. But I finally got it out. And we prayed and had services, had a good service. And I went home that night. And as I stepped up on the step, at the back to go in, the thought come to me, if the Lord's going to heal her, he can let her say her name. And I thought, yeah, Lord, if you're going to heal her, you can let her say her name. And she had never said it, friend. She had never said her name. And I walked in there, and I didn't say nothing to nobody. I just got Melinda, and I set her up on my lap, and I looked at her, and I said, "Now, your name is Melinda. What's your name?" And she looked at me, Them big blue eyes just sparkled as she grinned. And she said, Melinda, Daddy, it's Melinda. And oh, you talking about joy flooding an old boy's heart. I didn't shout. I just cried, I guess. But it was wonderful. And the next night, or next day, I don't remember which, I went back to church. Of course, I testified about it. And I come home, and Melinda was sitting at the dining room table. And when I walked in the back door, and I looked around, and the thought came to me, said, ask her what her middle name is. I said, Melinda, what's your middle name? She smiled. She said, it's Marie. She said, it's Melinda Marie Parker, Daddy. Oh, thank God. The day before, she couldn't even say her name. God didn't heal her over a 2 or 3 week period. He just healed her, friends. I mean, he just healed her. And it was so good. I thought a few days later, I don't know, maybe a week or two later, I don't remember how long, it was real shortly thereafter. One day I was in there working on the furnace, something happened to it. And I was working away on it. In come Linda, just running down the hall. She said, Daddy, Daddy, she said, come out here and teach me how to ride brother's bicycle. This is that little girl that couldn't even walk without stumbling and falling and couldn't talk about 2 weeks before that. And I said, well, honey, I'm busy right now. I said, you go ahead and I'll be out after a while. My wife told me later that when she taught our son, older, that's older than Melinda, how to ride a bicycle, it took her quite a while to teach him. You know how you do, you get them started pushing them, and then you run, run along beside the bicycle and you catch it in case they're going to fall to grab it. And that, you know, it took her a long time, said, teach Tim to ride it. And I was in there working, and I had forgot about Melinda. And all of a sudden, Sharon, my wife, she said, Bill, come here, honey. And I knew something happened. And I got up and I walked to the living room, and me and her stood there with our arms around each other, crying, looking out that front door. Because there was Melinda riding that bicycle up down the road. She went out there and got on that thing and taught herself how to ride. And friends, 2 weeks before, she was retarded. Couldn't walk and couldn't talk. God will never let you down. When it seems it's impossible, God will never let you down. When it seems the trials are so hard that you can't stand it, God won't let you down. And I thought, why he healed my little girl, I don't really know. I don't really know why he had that much mercy on me, but I just know that he did. And I know that I wanted him to so bad. I know that I wanted to do whatever that I had to do. I know that I didn't want anything between me and God, that I wanted to do whatever was necessary that God would heal my daughter. And sometimes, friends, I feel like that we want God to do things for us, but we don't want to do nothing for Him. Sometimes I look around, and I'm real serious with you now, at people, and they just play in church. They just pretend that they don't. They just don't try. Just don't even really try. I hear a lot of people say that they want to do better, but they don't. If they really wanted to do better, they would. We're not ignorant. We know what to do if we'll just do it. To receive God, we had to die to our ways, friends. And to please Him, now we'll have to stay dead to Him. A lot of times when folks say Satan is worrying them, it's not Satan, it's God chastening them. A lot of people are like the old dog that I heard about that snuck up to the barbecue grill and grabbed a steak off of it. And it was so hot, he began to yelp and bark and whine because he was getting burned. But he wouldn't let go of the steak. And that was the problem. That was what was causing the burning. And a lot of people that profess to be holy are like that. They grab a hold of something that they know is not pleasing to God. And God starts to chastise them. And they start whining, but they won't let go. Friends, let go of everything that don't please God. Word of God told us to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Lay it aside. We need to decide if we want to serve God or hold to the world. We can't do both. Jesus said no man can serve two masters, because he'll love the one and hate the other, or else he'll cling to the one and he'll despise the other. And friends, we can't do that. It's no wonder that we can't try God out. So many times we hadn't lived in a way to please Him. And we know it. His Word tells us in Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Friends, all we have to do to neglect is just not do the things we know to do. We're not ignorant. We know the things that pleases God. But so many people are trying to get by instead of serving God. Word of God teaches us to do a good job for our employers, when they're watching us and when they're not. Most people, though, watch for the boss and just work when he's watching. And that's the way it seems that we act toward God. Sometimes we seem to think he's not looking part of the time. But he is, friends. He knows our very thoughts. You know, I got to close. I'm about out of time. So many people just don't really want to please God. They just have an attitude that they're going to do what they want to do, and it don't matter. But you know, there's an old saying. They try to act like that they're trying to please God, but there's an old saying that says, what you do speaks so loud I can't hear what you say. My wife's got a plaque on the wall that says the same thing, a little bit different. It says it like this. It says, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. If you want to do better and please God, quit talking about it and just do it. Just do it. Quit talking about it. There's so much I could say about this, but I don't have time today, so I'll save it for another time, friends. I truly hope with all my heart that something I've said helps you. That's my whole purpose in doing these broadcasts, is to help someone. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you who listen, and also those of you who help make the program possible. Every gift is needed and appreciated so very much. My prayer is that God will return you 100-fold here in this world and in the world to come. We've been doing this program for nearly 6 months now and have received several comments, and I'd like to hear from you. Whether your comments are good or not, I'd just like to hear from you, to know that you're out there listening. Write to us and let us know what you think of the programs. Until next time, this is Brother Billy saying we love you, and may God richly bless every one of you, is our earnest prayer.